When the storm raged about them, the disciples were afraid. For the waves were high and the ship was tossed. They could not find their way. Then they awoke the master, saying, Lord, please save us now. He rebuked the wind and the sea grew calm, and they all wondered how. God sees the storm from the other side. He knows the lessons learned, and just beyond the clouds he sees clear skies. He speaks peace to the raging storm when peace could not be found. He already sees the rainbow.
Appreciate it. Daniel chapter 12 in your scripture there, Daniel 12. And so find that passage. I want to read with you in just a moment the first three verses of this chapter. And we will be focusing, emphasizing verse number 3 for a little while in tonight, just a little bit. So Daniel 12, in honor of God's good word, let's stand together, please, as we read. Please follow along as I read this scripture. Daniel 12. In your Bible, verse number 1, Old Testament. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. Here's my emphasis here. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about the Belarus trip. Let's pray. Father, help us, I pray, in these moments. May your word be exalted and magnified. May Jesus Christ be lifted up. And Lord, may we enjoy the fruits of mission dollars and the sacrifices that men and women have made for the gospel's sake. I pray that you'll be with this service and help us in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you and be seated. I have a note here. Dear folks of Faith Baptist Church, thank you so much for all the gifts that many of you bought and sent with Pastor and Mrs. Angel. It was like Christmas to us. Thank you for the peanut butter. There were 6 jars of peanut butter. Thank you for the Ritz crackers, the Nutty Butter bars, and peanut butter M&Ms. They must have a difficult time getting peanut butter in Belarus. And Catherine thanks you for her new toys and coloring books. And thank you most of all for allowing Pastor and Mrs. Angel to come to Belarus and be such a blessing to us and our people. And my wife and I both realize that without the church's generosity from the missions fund and just you tolerating us being gone, we couldn't go. But I think it meant something to them. She said it meant so much to our Belarusian Christians here, Dave, Gina, and Katie Beth. This morning I spoke about the great time that we had there visiting the Shroks in Belarus. I spoke about it from the fellowship perspective. It was a tremendous time, the historical perspective and the personal perspective. And I said this morning that I would speak a little bit tonight about the ministry perspective, that the ministry part of the trip. Belarus is a very difficult country in which to minister. It's still very much dominated by the old Soviet Union influence concerning religious freedom. Okay, now it has become more modernized. Let's turn off that middle light there, Brother Greg. That would probably help us. It has become more modernized over the 23-plus years that Brother Dave and Gina have been there. We had to go to the police station. Anybody who stays more than 5 days in country has to go to the police station and register, which made my wife extremely nervous. But we did. Dave said as we were there, while we were waiting, he said, this brings back. So that would mean any of you folk that would have visitors from somewhere else come and stay with you for more than 5 days, you'd have to go down here to the police department and register and so forth. And Brother Dave said, this place gives me the creeps because of how it used to be. They used to intimidate you, get in your face and yell at you. Because it's very much like Brother Oswardy in Oriol. There is no religious freedom, all right? There is none. They cannot just walk up and down the streets and pass out tracks and everything. What I was getting to, it has changed quite a bit modernization-wise because of the money that's come into the country since Dave and Gina have been there. China is investing millions into Minsk right now. We saw places that they were building. I'll show you that. Let's go to the first video, Brother Scott, if you would. This is about the only... Is that the best it is? Okay. Go ahead and just play this. It's only about 34 seconds long. Go ahead. This is just...
We are in the city of Minsk. Just on the outskirts coming in. And Brother Shrock and Gina lived for 2 years kind of to the left of what you're looking at here. And this is all built pretty much by Russian money. Just a lot of cooperative, I get it, housing.
Oh, that's apartments. Those are all apartments that are everywhere in Minsk. Look, that's an Audi. And they're driving Audis, they're driving BMWs. You can buy them over there cheaper than you can buy them here. So if you're interested, go over and buy one. But if you have it sent over, it'll cost you a killing just to get in the country. So there's a lot of money pouring into the country. But it's still, it's still under the old Soviet Union influence when it comes to ministry. They have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, or they could face the same end result that Brother Oswardy faced, getting shut down. And you might remember, some of you might remember, Travis Decker and Colleen were there. We supported them. In fact, you're going to see the building that we gave money to when Travis was in Belarus. They got booted, okay? And so, they got these huge apartment buildings, and the government might put somebody in there for the express purpose of in case somebody comes by with religious paraphernalia and tries to get them to come to a church service or witness to them, and they're a government mole. And so they have to be extremely careful. We did not just go up and down the streets passing out gospel tracts. I said, what do you do about door to door? He said, we knocked on every one of these doors in Dzhinsk. But he said we have to do it. He said we could not do that anymore. It's become more modern materially. It's far less open religiously than it used to be as far as ministry work, okay? So anyway, God has given them some fruit over there. Let's go to the picture. I wanted to show you this. This is that bunker I was telling you about this morning that's built by the Nazis during World War II. That ceiling is 5 feet thick concrete. And folks, we're looking at it from this perspective. If it was muddy, raining, we couldn't walk out there. If we were at you should see the area that thing commanded. It was the view was unbelievable. All those machine, you can't see them real good in this picture, but the machine gun places where they had the machine guns, and you see those all over Dzhinsk. Now I wished I'd have taken a picture of that field where those 1,200 Jews were murdered by the Nazis, but I didn't get a picture of that. But anyway, that's one of those bunkers, and everywhere you go outside of the villages, around the towns and villages, you'll see these type bunkers from World War II. Okay, let's go to the next picture here. Of course, there's the princess. Okay, there she is, you know. And that's her. I think that's Grandma's present, right? And there's the gift, Peppa Pig. And that was opening. That was when we got there. We were just, we just got there, got to the house. But, you know, we've been through this before. Ryan may not remember. Years ago, we came to Argentina. We brought a bunch of stuff for Keith and Judy and Keith, Kyle, Ryan, and Amanda. And it's exciting. Same thing with our kids in Madagascar. So there's Katie Beth. I think there's another one of her. And this is the house where they live, okay? This is the house that was occupied by the German officers during World War II. It was officers' quarters. And I can't remember everything I told you this morning. I'll tell you about the Reichsmarks. He found the actual money, the currency that was used during Hitler's rule in the walls of this house when he was remodeling. So this was opening night, and you know she's opening things here that people sent to her, relatives that sent things over. Some of you folks had as well. So let me just give you some pictures here about the ministry a little bit. Go ahead, Brother Scott. This is not a video. This is just a photo from opening Sunday morning service. Go ahead. Another one. All right, so this is a video. Let's go ahead and show that. We'll show the second. Yeah, we could not put it on the same PowerPoint. All right, go ahead and run the second video. And this is of the Sunday morning service, I believe, okay? This is as the people are coming in. There's Gina, of course. That's TJ Renee. We support TJ and there's little Dave.
Say hello, Brother Shock.
Now,
how do you do?
Just pause it right there, Scott. You would. So, this is the upstairs. It's over. Just go ahead and shut it. That's already. This is the upstairs of the church building. They are meeting up there because the auditorium downstairs is still under construction, and they can't get gas for heat because it's Russia. It's Belarus. They can't get the gas. Okay, that'll be later. We're going to go back to the PowerPoint in just a minute here. We'll get to that in just a second. So they can't get gas. In fact, he emailed me this morning and he said the gas company finally showed up on Friday. They got out of their vehicle and said, you got to have a different hookup. Call the other guys, have them come hook that up, and then call us back. Folks, it's in the 40s over there already. I mean, it's in the 40s and 30s. And they're in a block building, okay? And it's chilly, and they can't get gas for heat. But that's just the way it is over there, you know. We have no idea. We just have no, you know. Ben and them sometimes will take a whole day to pay their electric bill. A whole day to pay one bill. And they're thrilled if they can get it done in a day. It's just, you know, we have no concept of how things work in other countries, being this country. So that's where they're meeting right now. And, of course, Dave is a tremendous craftsman. He really is. And he's doing all the work, most of the work himself, and hiring some out. Okay, back to the PowerPoint, Scott. All right, is this the next another video? Okay, let's roll this. This is Sunday morning, I'm sure. Okay. You recognize that song, right? Well, with my soul. Okay, and that's T.J. Renee. We support him and Karina, and we'll talk about them in just a little bit. That's a Sunday morning service. Okay, next picture, or I think it's back to the PowerPoint now. Okay, this is Dave's neighbors, and there we are in their house. They're very aggressive people. They get right up in your face, and they talk to you real loud, so they're right here. It's just like, okay, you know, but I mean, we were over there. And this is only probably half of the spread that they put out for us. The gal sitting by Joyce there in the blue vest, she came to the service Sunday night for the very first time. We had two visitors there in church for the very first time, two of Dave's neighbors, and they were elated. That's how they measure just success in the ministry, one person at a time, because any of their neighbors can pick up the phone, call the police, and say, these people are meeting for a religious service in this building, and they can shut them down. So when they have a neighbor come to the service to visit, it's huge. And this lady on the far right is a dear lady. She's lost. She's failing health. She loves Dave and Gina. She loves them. Her husband died a couple years ago. They were elite people in Poland before the war, during the war, but real elite people. Now they live there in Belarus. And so this is, Gina is actually the one taking the picture here. And this, I think, was Monday morning after the Sunday night service. Okay, I think I lose track of time. But I think that's Monday morning. We're eating a little meal at their house. Okay, next. All right, now you remember Vladimir, okay? So this is Vladimir and Olya. This is the church building that we invested money in when Travis Decker was there, okay? And Travis got kicked out of the country. And Vladimir is a convert from, and I'll explain this in a little bit, these three churches that are all together over there, different locations, but they work together. That's Vladimir and Olya. They were here last year. And this is the church building that he's been working on. He came to the States to raise money, and this is what he's been doing, okay? So this is their church building, okay? Go ahead, Scott. This is Gina. Isn't that pretty, folks? That's really nice. Vladimir has done all of that, okay? And Brother Dave Schrock is helping them. They're helping them in that. Very nice tile floors and just really pretty. Okay, go ahead. This is the auditorium where they meet for services. That's the pulpit that he preaches from. Very bright. That is I forget what they told us about that piano. Do you remember what they told about the piano? There's something special about that piano, but I can't remember what it is, so it doesn't matter. So, but anyway, that's where they meet for church services, Vladimir and Olya. Next picture, please. So here they are outside again. You get a bit better picture. And then I think we have a video here of him speaking, okay? All right, so go ahead when you get that up, Brother Scott, and we'll hear him just for a second.
Well, my name is Vladimir, and I'm the pastor of this church. I'm very grateful for the Pastor Angel and his wife coming this way, and I'd like to say thank you, and thank you for your support and prayers. Because of your help, I'm able to do what I'm doing here, and so this is for the good cause, and I'm really excited to continue on with this work. Thank you very much.
Amen. All right, so that's that. Okay, so this is where he is. This is just on the outskirts of Minsk, probably a half an hour from Dave and Gina, okay, time-wise. So Dave and Gina are out in the village of Dzhinsk, about 40 minutes drive west from Minsk. These folks are on the outskirts of Minsk. About a half hour from Dave and Gina. Okay, next picture. All right, this is TJ and Karina's place. It's this humongous place that TJ's dad purchased years ago when they were over there, when TJ was a little boy. And him and Karina were both in the church. And Vladimir and Olya live upstairs, and they live downstairs. And she put on a meal for us. This is a Belarusian meal. This is stuffed cabbage, potato pancakes. The dish in front of Brother Schrock down there is borscht. Okay, that's a beet, potato, cabbage soup. Really good. I know it doesn't sound too good, but it's really good. That drink right there in front of Karina is red wine. No, it's not. That's why everybody's smiling so big. That is cranberry juice that she made. She made it from scratch. And so she put this, you know, all this fine china, I mean, all this stuff, this, they were very, very kind. These things over here between TJ and Karina, I don't know what they're called, but they're filled with like cottage cheese type curds and stuff, really sweet. And it was really delicious. We had a great time with this couple. And of course, Gina's taking the picture again. I don't know how she always ended up doing that. So there we are eating with TJ and Karina. All right, very good. All right, now, these are some of the people that belong to Brother Schrock's church there in Dzhensk. He's really excited about this young couple. Like any church, they're excited to have young couples. This is about their only young couple who's really... They both speak fairly good English. They're both English teachers. That's what they do. They are Belarusian, okay? And they just got married last July, and they are growing. He came up at the end of the service Tuesday night, and it was the last service, and he said, look, I didn't say look, he just said, thank you so much. He said, it has been very helpful for me and my wife to hear the messages that you brought. So this was a young couple, and I'm sorry with names. Natasha, I think, is her name, and his, it's a Belarusian name. Okay, next. All right, this is a group of guys who was at the service on Tuesday night. Now, on Sunday night, all three of the churches came together. Pastor Vladimir, right here on the right. And then, standing to my left, is Pastor Dmitry. He is on the far side of Minsk from Dave and Gina, on the other side of the city from Vladimir. He is a Belarusian. He was led to Christ by an American missionary. I wish I had brought what he said to me. He stutters. He's the pastor of the church. He stutters horribly. He translated for me Tuesday night. He never mentioned it. He never apologized for it. He just goes through it. I appreciate people who overcome difficulty like that. He has an infectious spirit. He said, Pastor, he said, please tell the people at Faith Baptist Church who give to missions, thank you. He said, I am saved because of American missionary. My wife is saved because of American missionary. Karina is saved because of American missionary. Vladimir is saved because of American missionary. Thank you. Thank the people who give to missions. It means so much. So I preached that message on happiness is tied in knots. I couldn't call it that, but maybe you remember it, using the jumper cables, and it went over real good. He translated. We had a great time, and they wanted to get a picture of all the guys with the jumper cables, okay? So we did that there. There's TJ. There's that young man. Then there's another young man in the church whose wife is not saved. In fact, Dave doesn't... In fact, this is Karina's brother. That's Karina's brother. They don't think he's saved either, okay? That's a guy named Valentin back there behind Brother Schrock. And then this is a guy named Kareel, young man in the church, really excited, 17-year-old guy. Him and another 17-year-old named Vlad came and had prayer with us. They stayed with the men. They prayed with the men. Really, really interested in growing in the Lord. So that was our Tuesday night service. Next picture is all the ladies that were at the Tuesday night service, okay? And we'll get to meeting some of these in just a little bit. And, of course, there's Gina and Katie and, all right, Catherine. All right, next picture. All right, this is Kareel. This is the young man, the 17-year-old. He's holding our church track. He asked me, he said, do you have a picture of your church building? And I'm horrible with pictures. I just, you know, some of you folks have millions of pictures on your phone. I probably have 20 on my phone. It's just pathetic. But I had a church track, and I gave it to him. I said, here's a picture of our church. You can keep it. This is a gift for me. And I said, well, yeah, you can have it. Didn't cost me much, but and he held that thing and he kept it with him all night. He was excited to get it. The guy, okay, next picture. Okay, here's TJ and Karina. All right, Karina was a little girl in TJ's dad's church, running around. Or was she in Dave and Gina's church? I can't. She was in Dave and Gina's church. He was in his dad's church. They were all working together though. Okay. And, of course, now they're married, and Karina's a blessing. So they were there. Okay, next. Here's TJ and her singing, a special. All right? I think it was Sunday night. I can't remember what night it was. I think it was Sunday night. So when you pull that up, Brother Scott, we got a video of them singing.
On the river, on
Okay, very good. Somebody told me one time, if you're going to take videos, take 30-second videos because they're easier to send by email and stuff, so it's 30 seconds. I don't know if that's right or not. So you techno folks can tell me better, okay? You know, Karina's a miracle story, folks. You know, she was at an orphanage for a while. Her and her parents were drunks, horrible drunks, so much so that they took them out of the home. They took Karina and her brother, Sasha, out of the home. Put them in an orphanage for a while. Dave and Gina, we went out and visit them, bring them to church. And from the orphanage, it's a miracle of God's grace. All right, next picture. This is Dimitri. What a great guy. He is an infectious spirit. This is his wife, Olya, and their children. And he's Timothy. And then I think, I forget her name, but anyway, he's on the other side of Minsk. But the three of these churches, his church, Vladimir's church, and Brother Dave's church, all the time are doing things together. Close friends, great fellowship between the three churches. And that's a great family. There's another picture of them here. This is Catherine's best friend, okay? So she had to get in the picture too, amen? So that's all right. And that's Dimitri. He just got back from a missions trip. Oh, we're on this one, okay. He just got back from a missions trip to Nigeria, and he was all excited about that. This is Vladimir and Olya. And they have the church right on the outskirts of the one side of Minsk. Okay, next. This is the last video, I think. All right, so one more video here and play that one. And Brother Scott, when we get to the end of this, if you can pause it on Brother Schrock, okay, that'd be good. All right. So. Karina's the piano player. Just stop it right there for a second. Okay, very good. And I just want to talk to you a little bit here about, I want to draw your attention. Everybody knows who Brother Schrock is. By the way, you can't believe how highly respected this couple is amongst all those people in that area, because they've gone and stayed when they got down to as low as two people coming to their church. They didn't give up. They stayed at it. And they are highly, deeply loved by the people in all those churches. But I want to draw your attention to a man who's not pictured here. And he's not in here. His name is not Dave Schrock. His name is Carl Hasty. And I don't know, I can't remember how much Brother Schrock has shared here about his story. Carl Hasty lived down near Bowling Green, Missouri, where Brother Schrock was when he was a boy as an Amish. You remember Brother Schrock was raised Amish, okay? Horse and buggy, I'm talking about horse and buggy Amish, you know, no electricity. They had a large Amish settlement in that part of Missouri. And Dave's dad, Dave's brother, his uncles were there. And no electricity, one room, you know, Amish schoolhouse, farmed with horses. You've seen the Amish. They're here in Illinois, okay, in Iowa. They're in Ohio, Indiana. And that's what Dave was. That's what Dave's family was. And Carl Hasty lived near Bowling Green, Missouri, 40-plus years ago. He was retired. He attended a Southern Baptist church in the area. And he was a van driver for the Amish. When the Amish need to go somewhere further than what their buggies can take them, they will hire a van and the van driver. And I saw him do that many times out there. Y'all have been here over the years. The guys that came here and did the work on these block walls, they had a guy drive them out from Iowa. So Carl Hasty was a van driver for the Amish. So he would drive them places. And when Carl drove them places, he would witness. And Dave said that he was very slow, and he was very careful, and he was very wise, but he would witness to these Amish men and women that he took around in this van. And Dave's dad, Joseph, was one of those men, and he and three of his other brothers, okay, I think 13 or 14 kids in Dave's dad, one of 13, 14, 15 kids in that family. Four of the boys, Carl was just kind of witnessing to, and they got interested in the gospel and grace. And so Carl said, well, let's have a Bible study. And they had it at midnight. They had to sneak out of their houses because they lived in fear of the Amish bishop who presided over certain families in the Amish settlement. And if they had heard that they were going to a Bible study, they'd have been kicked out. And so they would leave, and their wives, Dave's mother, would live at home in fear, scared to death. The whole time, her husband was gone from midnight till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning having a Bible study for fear that the knock would come on the door and it would be the Amish bishop excommunicating them. But those four Schrock brothers, they went to that Bible study with some others, and they heard the Scriptures, and they did the studies together, and it came down to the point where it was obvious to three of the four that salvation was by grace, through faith, not of works. And three of the brothers, Dave's dad and Dave's two uncles, trusted Christ alone. Plus nothing, minus nothing. The fourth brother said, no, this is heresy. Our way of life is our salvation. And he walked away lost. He fell. That's what falling from grace. He didn't fall out of grace. He was never in grace. He walked from grace. He got right to the doorstep and backed away. And Dave Schrock, Joe Schrock, had those 10 children. Dave was 13. They got excommunicated from the Amish church. They got shunned. We don't understand how deep that is. Relatives don't talk to you. They don't do business with you. His dad went to an auction after they were excommunicated, after they were shunned. His dad went to an auction. And it's a massive auction. It was one of Dave's uncles or his grandfather. There were five or six barns full of antiques and equipment. The auction ran 2 days, 3 days, in two different rings, nonstop, for 3 days, selling equipment and everything. His dad, by this time, had already been excommunicated, was shunned, and he went to the auction, and, you know, he bought a few things, just a few things. The auctioneer didn't know who he was selling them to, but when a shunned Amishman buys something and goes to pay for it at the end of the auction, the other Amishman won't even take his money. He's shunned. Take the stuff and go. Get out of here. And his dad could have purchased thousands of dollars of equipment, thousands of dollars of things. His dad could have purchased thousands of dollars, and they wouldn't have taken his money. He could have walked away, but Dave's dad had too much character. He bought a couple of small things, but that's how they were treated. But folks, you know, you talk about the grace of God. All 10 of those Schrock kids got saved. All 10 of them are in church today. Two or three of them are in ministry. And you know, Carl Hastie. Who knows Carl Hastie? But you know what Carl Hastie is? He's in heaven now. He's one of those at the end of chapter, verse number 3 here, that turned many to righteousness as the stars. He's shining as the stars forever and ever right now. He turned all that you see here in Belarus, this young man right here, that's all Carl Hastie's work. He wasn't a preacher. He wasn't an evangelist. He wasn't a missionary. He's a Christian. He's a Christian. And, you know, and the first two verses are talking about the tribulation and resurrection and so forth. And that's not my focus tonight. My focus in verse number 3 here. Carl Hastie is going to shine like the stars forever. You know, brother, what Dave Schrock said about Carl Hastie, he said, you know, he wasn't a Bible theologian. He just loved to see people get saved. And he just witnessed. He just witnessed carefully. And that was probably the most convicting comment I heard on this whole trip when Dave said about this guy, he just loved to see people get saved. Folks, listen, you know one of the most dangerous things that you and me, we have to guard against is allowing our faith to become just external. We really have to guard against that. You know, to summarize our Christian walk by what we don't do, that is a dangerous thing. That's horribly dangerous. You know, and look, don't get me wrong. I believe we're supposed to take a stand for God by living according to truth. And I'm most definitely, that includes our behavior, our entertainment, our music, our dress. I am 100%, I am 200% opposed to the contemporary, anything goes type Christianity that's being promoted today. They have beer and Bible day. And, you know, everybody come and join us for a beer, you know, and have a message. I'm 1,000% against that. I am 100% against the music that is nothing more than an opportunity for young people to enjoy rock music with some Christian terminology. That's all it is. It is an addiction to rock music like I had when I was lost. That's all it is. It is a rock and roll beat that absolutely seizes the flesh. And you know, throw a few Christian terms. And I'm against all of that. But people, there is more to living for God than what we don't do. There's more to living for God than just our stand. It's our heart. It's our heart for God. It's our heart for people. We were leaving the airport in Belarus to fly back to Chicago Thursday afternoon. And we had just, Joyce and I had put gotten our bags checked and got our boarding passes. And we turned to walk out, and Dave and Gina and Kate, Catherine was still there. And they were talking to this woman and this young teenage girl. And we walked up, and they said, we want to introduce you to and Mrs. So-and-so, who is a missionary's wife. And this is her daughter, Anna. And they're missionaries in the city of Minsk. And, you know, we know, they're different type missionaries because we didn't meet them. And so, you know, we greet them and everything. Anna's going to be on the same flight as you. She's flying all the way to Chicago. She's got the fall break from school. She's going to see her grandmother. Her granddad just died a couple months ago. She's going to see her grandmother. She's going to check out some colleges. She's a senior in school in Minsk. And she's going to be on the same flight. And her mother, and I said to her mother, I said, we'll watch after Anna. And she said, this is of God. This was Anna's first trip home by herself, flying internationally. And it's intimidating, folks, if you've never done it. You go to an airport where the main language is something other than English, and in Minsk airport it's Belarusian, Chinese, and then some English thrown in, and so it's intimidating. And so you know I told Joyce we got to the gate before Anna did. Anna was 17, and I told Joyce, I said, we're going to watch after this girl. Let's keep her eyes open because Cherith is going to go to Madagascar next summer, Lord willing, traveling by herself internationally. And I believe you reap what you sow. And so we're going to watch after this girl. Maybe somebody will do that for our kid next year. And so, you know, we saw her. We said, come sit with us. And she sat with us. And, you know, she had her back and her pack and everything. We flew from Minsk to Warsaw. And we landed in Warsaw, and we're waiting for her. And said, hey, look, I said, we found a place that sells coffee and hot chocolate coming over. Come on, come with us, and I'll buy you a hot chocolate. You'll buy me? I said, yeah, come on, I'll treat you to a hot chocolate. So got Joyce and her a hot chocolate, and we got up to the gate to fly to Chicago. And then my wife's name was called for extra security because she looks like a terrorist, you know. So she has to go. So, of all the people, so here's Joyce standing in line with her little purse. Going to have to get checked. And so I'm down there with her, and we walk back to the gate, and Anna's been sitting there, and we walk up, and this girl, she's not an independent Baptist. She's going to go check out colleges that we wouldn't go to, that are Southern Baptist colleges. You know, but she's sitting there reading her Bible. And I think, you know, it's obvious she was not a separated Baptist. And folks, sometimes people are separated because they've never heard. They've never been taught. But, you know, So here she is. She had her Bible with her, and more than having it with her, it wasn't in her check bag. It was in her carry-on bag. And here she was, surrounded by all these people. She had it out reading it. A 17-year-old. You know, and I thought about, you know, I'm not promoting the contemporary lifestyle, but I have to believe that God would be pleased with that over a separated Christian whose Bible was buried in a check-in bag, would be too intimidated to pull it out and read it. Because our Christianity is not measured just by what we don't do. It's measured by relation. That's called relationship. Does that make sense to y'all? I was touched by that. And, you know, it really was a good thing that we got off the plane quite a bit earlier than she did in Chicago. You know, you're anxious to get going. You ever come in through customs, she's one of the last ones off. We waited for her. We got close to the customs, and she hadn't filled out her customs paper. So I said, oh, how's that? She said, I don't know. So I took the customs paper, filled it out for her. She had to sign it. We took her up to the kiosk, and the lady helped her get all settled, got her bag, you know, and got her out the gate to meet her aunt. And she was a delightful young lady. She really was. And I'm not promoting I think we ought to be separated. But I think we ought to be separated unto God. And not just separated under a rule book. Christianity is far more than that. It's not just about what we don't do, how we don't behave. It's a relationship with God through His Word. And, you know, and then Carl. Here's a guy, a Southern Baptist. You know, I wouldn't go to a Southern Baptist church by conviction now. But Carl just loved to see people get saved. And there's the fruit of it. An independent Baptist missionary. And, you know, I could not remember Carl's last name. I emailed Dave early this morning before 5 o'clock and I said, Dave, what's Carl's last name? I want to tell the people about him tonight. And he wrote me back this afternoon and said his last name is Hasty. And he just went on to talk about him again. He said, I love Carl Hasty. He said he was such a faithful witness to Amish people. You don't just twist their arm and squeeze a prayer out of them. They have to be brought to conviction to realize that salvation is not in works. It's not in their lifestyle. It's through Christ alone, plus nothing and minus nothing. And Carl Hasty someday will shine as the stars. Folks, do you know this book teaches that the stars that you and I look at right now into the heavens are going to come out of those sockets someday and disappear, be burnt up? But he will shine as a star forever and ever. Ever and ever. And I just came home again, as God does once in a while. It does not shake me, my position as a separated independent Baptist, but it reminds me that Christianity is more than just what we don't do. It's a heart for God and for God's people. And for other people, even lost people. And Anna had a heart for God enough to pull her Bible out in a public place. And by the way, if you ever want to be left alone at the airport, just pull your Bible out. You'll be left alone. And read it in a public place. 17 years old. No mom around. No dad around. Hey? Got to hand it to her. Got to hand it to her. And Carl Hasty, a retired van driver, just kind of talking to the Amish guys about Christ. That's what touched my heart. That guy right there, there's the fruit of his ministry, playing the piano. All of that started with Carl Hasty. Unbelievable, isn't it? It's unbelievable. Let's stand, please. Thank you for being here tonight. Father, your work is amazing. Your word is amazing. I thank you so much for the privilege to give so that men and women like Dave and Gina can go. And Lord, thank you for the testimony of an older man, Carl Hasty, just being a faithful witness, and a 17-year-old girl being a faithful Christian, reading her Bible. Give us a heart for you and a heart for others, please. Lord, may our walk with you, our Christian life, be more than just adherence to some rules. I pray for there to be a strong relationship between us and our Savior, the Lord Jesus, in whose name I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, altars open for salvation, baptism, or just to pray. As the ladies play a song tonight, you obey.